This week on Aliens Explored, as a change to our advertised programme, we will not be discussing Stanton Friedman in our penultimate episode. Instead, we will be looking into the so-called jellyfish UFO, based on footage recently released by the US military, and further testimony of a strange object making a slow, low-level pass over a military facility. Next week's episode of Aliens Explored will be our last one, at least for the time being, and we would like to thank all of our listeners and contributors for tuning in. We're going to miss you.
Aliens Explored is a weekly podcast exploring famous and obscure cases of UFO sightings, alien abductions, and other strange events from both a believing and a skeptical perspective, whilst keeping an open mind. I'm Stu Jackson, a professional actor and amateur ufologist with a particular interest in the crop circle phenomenon. I'll be debating that otherworldly visitations are real. The truth is out there.
And I'm Neil Kelly. I'm a professional actor as well and used to work for the military as an intelligence analyst. I'll be arguing from a more doubtful point of view. I mean, it's all a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
Welcome back, listeners, to the penultimate episode of Aliens Explored. It's quite sad, but episode 168.
That's quite a good run, isn't it? Episode 168.
It really is. But we'll be talking about we'll be doing our reflections in the next episode. So yeah. Save thoughts for that one. But yes, episode 168, where we're going to be discussing a very, very recent jellyfish, or as it's called, the jellyfish UFO, as reported by Jeremy Corbell. I am one of your hosts, Stu Jackson.
And I'm your other host, Neil Kelly. Happy New Year, Stu.
Yeah.
Well, did we say Happy New Year to each other in the last one when it was recorded back in November or whenever it was? But we knew it was going to go out in January. Yeah.
So the last one we recorded goes out literally a few days after we're recording this. It goes out on the 19th of January. We did say Happy New Year back in episode 165.
So we're really lifting the whole Oz curtain on our inner workings, aren't we? Yes, we recorded this back in November. We wished each other a Happy New Year. But, It really is the New Year.
Yeah, so it has literally been, for us recording these, a good couple of months, like nearly 3 months, hasn't it?
We tend to get busy at Christmas, us Santa-age actors.
Yeah, so, because it was the beginning of November, November, December, January, we're recording this mid-January, so, it's certainly more than 2 months.
It is, isn't it? It's 15th of January, blimey, and it's your birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I meant to say, I got your card, thank you very much for sending the card.
I thought it was appropriate.
So for our listeners, I've forgotten his name now, but the guy who does the Mr.
Hargreaves.
Roger Hargreaves, thank you. Yes, it was a card with lots of book covers in the style of him, but with Yorkshire-isms. So, Mr. How much? Little miss, mind how you go now.
Mr. Keep my coat on indoors. Or take my coat off indoors to feel benefit.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Wazzock. Yeah.
A big smile to my face. So thank you.
Good.
Thank you for the card. Yes. I turn 51 tomorrow.
Blimey. Yeah. I remember 51.
Do you? Yeah. You remember that far back?
It was a long time ago. I know.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Past the midlife crisis stage, sort of.
Oh, are you? Or not just coming into it? I thought that was the... You're in the danger zone now.
Well, but if I called it a midlife crisis now, that'd imply that I'm going to live to 102, which I think is really unlikely.
Yeah, but you know how middle-aged isn't really the middle of your life. You're not regarded as middle-aged when you're 40-odd or whatever, because you're late 30s, because, yeah, well, that's you're probably only going to live another 38, 40 years. I remember... My nurse telling me that I said I was middle-aged. And she said, oh, no, you're not. I'm in my 60s. No, you're not middle-aged. And apparently 60 is the new 40, isn't it? So,
I do remember upset. So I actually disagree with you on that definition
everything,
of middle-aged.
On everything.
On everything. Hey, it's what the podcast is. But no, because I remember I really upset a director once. I was in a play and I must have been about 37, 38 at the time. And I described myself in passing as being middle-aged. And this director, who was in her early 50s, got very upset. You're not middle-aged. I'm like, well, of course.
Because if you're middle-aged, that means I'm middle-aged.
You're far too young to be middle-aged. I'm like, well, what are you calling... Like middle age, like well, 50 is middle age. I'm like, well, no, only if I live to be 100, which, you know, she got, yeah. She never cast me again in anything. Anyway, that's a whole aside. And so we've dropped in at the beginning there about this being the penultimate episode.
Yes, I'm sure our listeners are still sort of reeling in shock from that statement.
quite possibly.
But yes, we decided, didn't we? Had a bit of a chat and decided, well, yes, let's. I mean, we started this as something to do during the COVID lockdown, didn't we?
We did. Yeah.
168 episodes later, still going strong. So, well, we did have a bit of a wobble, a bit of a pause.
Yeah, we've had a couple of breaks. I think it's like we're coming up on 4 years.
And this could be just another break, you know. Never say never.
Theoretically, I don't believe in false hope. I would say unlikely at this stage. But yeah, nothing's impossible. And who knows? Who knows what tomorrow brings? That'd make a good line in a song, that would.
That would, yeah. Maybe a song called Tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll be talking more about that in the next episode, the final episode. Stay tuned for that, listeners. But today we're talking about some very recent, certainly very recent as far as we're concerned at the time of recording, a few days old level recent, where Jeremy Corbell, who is... there are mixed feelings about him in the UFO community, it has to be said.
Are there? Right.
Oh, yes. He's quite divisive, it has to be said. But he has had leaked to him this video of the jellyfish UFO UAP seen flying over an Iraq military base.
Well, an American base in Iraq in 2017. So this footage is 7 years old. Allegedly.
There's a little bit of discrepancy as to whether it was 2017 or 2018. Different places are reporting different dates. So...
Now, there seem to have been...
One or the other.
there are two UFO sightings that are being conflated. There's something called the jellyfish UFO, and there's something called the chandelier UFO, and apparently people have been confusing those.
They have, because they are very similar looking UAPs. The chandelier one, I believe the one you're referring to there, would be the one in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. I don't know. I just saw an interview with, it might have been Jeremy Corbell himself, where he said, oh no, not to be confused with the chandelier. People are getting the two conflated because I guess they were seen around about the same time. So we're definitely talking about this thing that was seen flying across a US base in Iraq in 2017 at quite low level. It looks almost rooftop height.
Yes.
It's slightly too far away and the quality of the picture is too... isn't good enough to really see it very clearly to see what it is.
Well, it was recorded with a FLIR camera, forward-looking infrared, so that's why the picture looks the way it does. Although it's in monochrome, it's basically black and white and grey. The darker colours means it's a cooler object. The lighter colours means it's a hotter colour. And indeed, this object itself does seem to fluctuate.
Was this shot at night time then? Because it looks... I didn't realise I was looking at an infrared picture, but it was shot at night time.
That's this dark unknown object at this point, to me, at very least. I'm not aware of a specific date that it was shot, and this might be one of the reasons why there's confusion over whether it was 2017 or 2018. So there's no specific date and certainly no specific time involved. But what is confusing about this is there is eyewitness testimony from people who worked on the base about this particular thing. So why we don't have like a particular date, I don't know.
I mean, that you can't see anyone else in the picture, in the footage, can you? It seems to be flying over a deserted base. Everyone's indoors or somewhere else.
It would appear to be the case, yes. I mean, that said, it's not... like, you're not looking at the entire base in one go. The camera is tracking
And that's a question I have about where the camera was mounted, because we're watching this thing. We're going to put a link in the description, aren't we, so people can see the footage.
I can put the link in the description, yes, definitely.
Yeah, basically what you're watching is an object flying from right to left across the screen at a fairly constant speed, constant low altitude. It seems to be almost rooftop height. But the camera that's filming it seems to be tracking along with it. It seems to be on something that's moving along at the same speed with it.
Yes. Yes. The camera is definitely following this object and consciously so. You know, there's a definite intent to track.
Is there a camera on the drone or what?
I don't know. and it's one of the problems with... military footage of this sort of nature. So for one thing, we don't have the full video. Certainly Jeremy Corbell talks about elements of this this UAP encounter that are not on video. So we've not got the whole video. Because it's military based, there's a lot of things that will be kept quite light. For example, you know, where exactly is this camera mounted? That would be considered, as you know, Neil, from your time in the military, that would be considered secret information. You know, you don't want people knowing where your cameras are.
Because you don't want that.
You could, yeah, you could but, circumvent them.
But it raises a big question mark over the footage that, you know, who was filming this and why and what from. And, you know, if this was a base in Iraq... in 2017, so a base on a war footing. Now, we know from places like Gaza and places like Ukraine that a modern weapon used by insurgents is the drone or bunch of balloons carrying a grenade. Lots of Russian soldiers, Israeli soldiers as well, have been killed by grenades dropped from these improvised flying vehicles. So they're letting this thing fly across this thing potentially loaded with a grenade fly right across their base. Are they just telling everyone, well, get out of the way, this thing could drop a bomb any minute?
I don't believe this is someone manually following this object. I believe this is automatic tracking system. Certainly that technology exists, particularly with AI. In fact, it's used. There are devices you can get for ufologists specifically that will sort of scan the night sky, and if it sees a moving object, it will identify, well, is that a UAP, or is it like, does it conform to what a jet aircraft looks like, or a satellite, or and it'll pinpoint, like, with its database and speak to computers, like knowing where commercial aircraft are and things like that, and rule all of that out and only record if it is genuinely a UAP.
Okay, but that
there's
camera,
technology out there that does that. I mean, it's thousands of pounds. But,
yeah, I mean, that technology seems to me, that camera seems to be on a flying object, because we're actually looking down on the base, aren't we? And we can see this thing flying across at a lower altitude than we're at.
Yes.
So whatever's filming it is flying higher than the UFO.
It's either from an extremely elevated position, because you're right, looking at the ground, it seems to be moving with the object, or more or less with the object.
And it's not, and I looked carefully, it doesn't seem to be pivoting on a point to follow it. It's actually moving and maintaining the same position next to it, flying along with it.
Has that appearance? I'm not going to rule that out, because if, for example, it is satellite imagery, then it wouldn't appear to be. You wouldn't get that pivot. The further away you are from the object, the less it looks. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're on the train and close to objects are moving by really quick, and further distant objects like mountains and that are moving really slowly. So the further you are away from the object, the less it looks like. Yeah,
okay,
so,
wouldn't satellite imagery be from directly above?
Not necessarily. The
satellite's, what, 20,000 miles up?
Only if the satellite was directly above.
Yeah.
But if
this
it's
is
not,
a, quite an acute angle.
The
camera looks like it's only slightly higher than the object it's filming.
I absolutely agree that I think a moving object like a drone is the most likely source. I just can't rule out other things at this point.
Yeah. Apparently soldiers on the base referred to it as a ghost. They said it was their ghost story.
They talk about it as a ghost story. I don't think they call it a ghost. I've not heard that. But certainly it has become a ghost story on the base itself, yes. Where they talk about, in that time when we got visited by the jellyfish, you know.
And the guy holding a torch under his chin as he tells the story.
Kind of thing, yeah. Which, to me, obviously there are eyewitnesses to this event then. To talk about this event the way that they have. it rules out one theory that I'd heard, which is that it was pigeon poo or something like that on the dome of the camera, you know, because cameras have protective domes around them. So I have heard it suggested that it might be something like that, but no, I think we can rule that out.
Okay.
And indeed, you say about it flying at rooftop height, just to interject on
it
that.
It seems to go
up and down above the roofs as well.
That's how it
looked to me on the footage.
Okay, to me it looked like it was actually avoiding buildings. It was flying down what seemed to be a street.
Yes.
A little bit higher than, I mean, people would be very alarmed, and it seems to be quite small as well. I mean, if someone had said, "Well, it's a bunch of balloons," that's what a bunch of balloons. It's about the size that size, isn't it? Yeah, these guys who stand on the street with a big bunch selling a big bunch of balloons, it's about that sort of size. as far as I could tell.
One of the difficulties we've got is not knowing how far away the camera was from the ground, at very least.
No.
we've got no real frame of reference because we don't know how far away this object was from the ground. It looks to be low level, I absolutely agree, but we can't be certain of that. So I'm just
measuring it against the buildings that it seems to be flying past, unless I've got the perspective completely wrong. It looks like, a bunch of balloons.
From top to bottom.
That sort of size.
Comparing it to the buildings, I would put it at easily maybe 10 foot.
Yeah. That's,
from top to bottom.
Three metres, yeah.
Yeah.
Not big.
Not big, but not small either.
About the size
of a bunch of balloons, I'm thinking, half a metre, in diameter.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, a bunch of balloons tied up in your
depends how many balloons there are.
Yeah, I mean, if you're selling balloons on the street, you might have a considerably bigger bunch than that.
Yes, like that film Up, if you tie them to a house and it takes the house away. Yeah.
Yeah.
yes. Well, it's interesting you mention about the balloons. So this form of UFO is not unique.
Okay.
It's not common, I would say. There are much more other very common types of UFOs. But a large, almost solid, large structure at the top with dangly bits underneath. That is a UAP type that is seen all over the world. And in fact, you mentioned about the chandelier one, which is some other footage that has been released recently. Like I say, from Australia. Again, shot, somebody on his phone. It's taken from a distance, so it's like almost impossible to tell what it is. But, you do get that quite a lot. And a lot of people are saying it looks like, a bunch of balloons have been tied together. And I'm sure in some cases that's exactly what it is that people are seeing.
There was also testimony, but not footage. And this is where I'm suspicious. Everyone's got a camera on them nowadays. And if you saw a UFO, you'd whip it out and you would keep filming and filming and filming until either you had no more storage space or the UFO had gone. But there's testimony that this thing flew out over the sea and then dropped down, made a controlled descent into the sea, and then 17 minutes later reappeared and flew away again.
Reappeared at a sharp angle and flew at some speed, absolutely. Mm. This is obviously back onto the jellyfish, not the chandelier.
Yeah. But this is...
There's enough conflation of those two things.
But there's testimony, only no foot. I mean, I can imagine if someone followed it and they thought, there it goes, out to sea, let's keep it. Oh, it's going down into the sea. I can imagine then you stop filming, say, it's gone down into the sea. And then 17 minutes later, when it suddenly pops up and flies away at great speed, it's gone before you can get your camera out again. I can see that, but there doesn't seem to be any footage of any of that.
No, there isn't any publicly released footage of it. You're absolutely hit the nail on the head there. And this is causing people some questions about it all. What I say to that is first of all, because this is military released footage, or military leaked footage in the first instance, that's really not an uncommon thing for leaked footage to not get the entire thing. We think back to those famously released footage cases from the Pentagon. You've got Tic Tac, Go Fast, and Tumblr. They're now incredibly famous pieces of footage. Mm. We've never seen the whole videos of those. And the Pentagon have said, well, no, because some of that footage contains top-secret information. And it might well be the case here that maybe that piece of footage identifies the person recording it, or...
The next thing flew past after the footage stopped was a sensitive installation or a piece of weaponry or technology or whatever they don't want to show that was at that base. I can accept that. I can say, okay, you can show the movie up to there. We're cutting it there. You can have that bit. But
yeah, yeah. So to me, the fact that
yeah, I can see the military
part of
that.
The footage is missing. That doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't negate the strength of this video for me. Mm. I know it does for a lot of people.
And certainly with the when you consider the fate of people like Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange, I can imagine service personnel are very wary about releasing information that they have to the world at large.
If it can be identified back to them, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that would be considered treason, I'm sure, wouldn't it? To release secret information.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, these days when everyone has cameras with them all the time, I'm sure it must be very difficult to control what soldiers film on the battlefield or wherever, you know. Doing selfies of themselves, sending them home to their folks. I mean, yeah, in the world wars, soldiers would write home, they'd write letters home, and they would go through a censor who would redact parts of it. They would just black out. Yeah. I mean, there's a story, the woman who received a letter said to my darling Mabel, then it's just all blacked out, love, Steve. You know, that...
yeah. But this isn't footage that somebody has taken on their phone. This is military footage in the first place. So
yeah.
Somebody somewhere has downloaded this information and removed it from its secure location.
I was surprised to see nobody on the base. I mean, if it was shot at night, that makes it more believable. But there are no points of light either. I mean, if someone's got a light on outside the building, that will show as a massive flare on the lens if you're shooting that on infrared.
So there's none of that.
It just looks like it's flying over a deserted base with no one around, no lights, nothing.
If it's a cooler light source like LEDs, not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not so infrared or forward looking infrared or thermo cameras they're sometimes called as well. It's not like night vision absolutely, as soon as it uses the smallest amount of light and enhances that massively, yeah. to give you a better idea of an image. So yes, if you get an actual decent source of light and shine it in, you're going to blind people. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why, as I understand it, they don't use that sort of thing now at all, because it's all too easy to basically just shine a laser pointer at it and yeah, that person's lost their eyesight.
Yeah, I remember being on exercise, and our company, we had one night sight with us. I mean, it could be mounted on a rifle, but it wasn't. It was just, you know, someone had it in the case, and we weren't to get it out of the case until we were in absolute darkness, and then sort of fumble around. As if, because if you shine it at a direct light source, you'll dazzle it, and then you've just got to give it back to the technicians to kind of reset it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only use it in real darkness.
Exactly. But that
was 40 years ago, you know. That was...
Yeah, thermal imaging is quite different. It only really records the heat of an object. So that's quite an interesting aspect of this jellyfish, is as it travels, it seems to go from really quite hot quite cold and, you know, randomly sort of, or seemingly randomly, as the video progresses, it certainly fluctuates in temperature quite a lot. Now, I wouldn't expect that from a bunch of balloons.
No.
But in addition to that, I think it's moving way too fast to be balloons.
Oh, shit.
Also, if it was balloons with strings dangling underneath... The strings they'd dangle, they'd move, and this appears to be more fixed arms. I would say, that are underneath it. It's certainly very, it's a very static structure to it.
Yeah, I'm still dubious about it. I still think, yeah, it's either balloons or it's dangling from another drone or...
It reminds me a lot of the... that's one of the theories put forward, is that it's a drone that's got something, some sort of structure underneath it. It certainly doesn't resemble any drone that I'm familiar with at all.
No, but you know, Halloween time, sometimes people will make a lightweight ghost or something and attach it to a drone on a really long string and get this ghost to sort of move around.
They do, but that's the thing. Those things, because they're fabric, because fabric's lightweight, it floats and it moves, it undulates. You're not getting anything with that with the jellyfish at all. It reminds me of the droid from Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, that goes to Hoth, the ice planet, looking for the rebels. And it's like, it's basically a round dish with legs underneath it at different angles.
Mm.
Do you know the one I mean?
It's been a long time since I watched that movie.
It's been a long time for me, must be hours. Yeah.
I think when did it come out in cinemas?
1970.
83.
Around
83, wasn't it?
83, might well have been.
82 or 83. Yeah.
Could well have been. And I know 76 for A New Hope.
Yeah, I think I saw it in... Was it 76? I know I saw it in 78, because I know where I was when I saw it.
We used to get reruns back then at cinemas, because you didn't have videos or DVDs or anything like that.
And also, things took a while sometimes to get out to the regions, Southampton. It's
very true. Yeah, people would wait until they became a lot cheaper.
Yeah, or just where they were. You know, if you live in Doncaster, you're not going to travel all the way to London to see something, especially a film you didn't really know anything about.
Yeah.
You know, there was an awful lot of buzz about Star Wars at the time, but, yeah.
We're off topic. So this jellyfish UAP then. So let's we've come to that point in the episode where we kind of wrap up our final thoughts. So I'm going to ask a direct question. What do you think it was, Neil?
I think it was something man-made. I think a bunch of bored soldiers put something together with balloons or with a drone or whatever, and they got another drone to film it as they moved it across the base or something like that. That's what I'm going with. And then then the story just got more and more embellished. Oh, it disappeared into the sea, and then where did it go then? Oh, it disappeared into the sea, and then it flew away at massive speed. Well, no, it just flew out to sea, you know.
So you think it was a prank? Pranksters did it?
I wouldn't rule that out, yeah. I think that's more likely than a genuine extraterrestrial encounter.
Okay. I'm not going to rule it out. However, I think looking at this, and yeah, the image quality is very poor, we understand, but the structure of it, the shape of it, is, to me, so bizarre compared to any sort of technology that we're familiar with. I honestly think it's a something else. It's really hard to gauge. It's raised the question again. It's a phrase we haven't explored anywhere near enough on Aliens Explored. Extremophiles. So the extremophiles are creatures that live in the most extreme of conditions, you know, like creatures that live in volcanoes or
Doncaster.
Right in the depths of the sea of Doncaster. You've got it in for Doncaster. my hometown. But yeah, and it's been suggested that maybe this is an extremophile that lives like way up high in the stratosphere and has just come down close to ground for some unknown reason. But I also think one of the reasons why we're seeing more and more things like this is because the technology is improving. The military is always the first to get the highest level of technology, and then it sort of slowly creeps out to the public, as we know. So the fact is the military releasing this, or it's from military sources that this footage gets released first. I just think as our technology improves, we're detecting more and more of whatever this might be, whether it's extraterrestrial, interdimensional, extremophile, whatever. There is something. The truth, as I've been saying all along, is out there. And I think we're getting closer and closer to finding it. And this is just another step along the way.
Soldiers on a base, you know, I've caught up with my sleep. I've written home. I've had my dinner. And what am I going to do now? No, let's get this thing to fly across the base.
Maybe. Mm. But you know what? I want to hear what our listeners have to think. Even though, this is our last proper episode of Aliens Explored, because like I say, next week we'll be talking about the fact we won't be doing them anymore.
We'll be lamenting next week.
We'll be crying into our shandies.
Crying on our keyboards.
But nonetheless, we do love hearing from our listeners, and that's not going to end. So do let us know what you think, because our email addresses and all the rest of it will keep going. So you can email us aliensexplored@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever the hell it is now. And, of course, YouTube as well. You can post a comment below our videos and let us know what you think this jellyfish is. Because we'd like to hear your thoughts. Mm. Well, it's the last time I'll be saying this, so let's make most of it. Join us next time when we will be, like we say, lamenting, looking back, looking at maybe some of the subjects that we would have been discussing had we'd carried on as well. Who knows what we're going to be talking about?
We're random guys, aren't we? Who knows where this might go?
Random ramblers, definitely. Yeah. So, join us for a fond farewell next time. Until then, do keep watching this this released footage, and of course keep watching the skies. Take care for now.
Catch you next time. Bye bye.
Aliens Explored is a Feagle Films production in association with Juicy Falls. Music by Darren Mafucci and editing by Stu Jackson. Find us on Twitter and Facebook by searching Aliens Explored or visit aliensexplored.com.